Your Honor, to return quickly to the error question, it's critical to note that in Smith there was a notary, and the notary administered the oath to that witness, and that witness was dealing with a transcript of her statement and had the opportunity to review it, make corrections to it, and then decide whether it was under oath. The missing piece of paper is immaterial to how you need to decide the case, because that whatever scrap piece of paper Ms. Gallarosa signed her name to at the hospital was obviously not a transcript of what she had just said out loud to the detective. She is not a witness that ever had an opportunity to review a written statement for accuracy and then say, yes, this is truthful, nor is she a witness who was advised of her obligation to tell the truth against penalty of perjury prior to giving the statement. This is why this is an error.
Well, if she had refused the officer's invitation to acknowledge she had declared it under penalty of perjury, it wouldn't have been a sworn statement. It probably wouldn't have been admissible, would it?
I would agree with the court that if
then what's the difference?
I don't think there is that much of a difference. I think that the administering of the oath after the fact is not good enough, because and my position is quite consistent with ER 603 and the purpose of administering an oath, which is to impart to an individual the seriousness of what they're doing. I would also caution the court that allowing this statement obtained out of court at a hospital setting in this fashion, in some ways denigrates what we do in court. A courtroom is a solemn place where the witness testifying has a clear, full understanding that what they're doing is under oath against penalty of perjury. And I think it's not useful for us to open this up.
But the legislature made that determination that it was a fair substitute for any affidavit that previously would require being sworn and attested. And certainly we have all manner of business transactions and other kinds of cases that come into our courts, and the Supreme Court has routinely accepted declarations in lieu of affidavits.
I agree with that, Your Honor, but those are notarized affidavits and they're done under oath, and I don't think the oath requirement...
No, declarations that use the statutory form which has been determined to be an acceptable substitute for a affidavit which has the oath and the notary attestation.
In my understanding, and I could be wrong, is that when those declarations are prepared, the witness has an opportunity to review them in writing before they attest to it. Turning to the sentencing question, if I may, for a minute, I do believe that the trial court misapplied...
You can go ahead and finish.
Misapplied the rule. If you look at Stockmeyer, it's an unusual case with a peculiar outcome based on peculiar facts where Mr. Stockmeyer had an arsenal of weapons spread throughout his home for easy access at any given moment in time. The harm that was involved here is that Mr. Sowers, a convicted felon, had access to firearms within his dwelling. But that shotgun was unloaded, and it was wedged in the back of the closet. And it is unfair for the prosecution to both establish that these are things that he had constructive possession on that day by saying that they were both in this closet, on his side of the closet, and then ding Mr. Sowers for these being offenses that were not committed at the same time and same place.
Thank you.